Good evening and welcome to Vinyl the Vinyl, where we play homage to the Roman goddess of the long playing record. It's August 1st, 2011. My name is Dan Foley. My producer is Dan Foley Jr. And I, Van Halen, we're running a little bit hot tonight. It certainly is hot out there. Tonight, we're going to play deep cuts from America's most popular pop group from 1969 to 1974. They scored one top 40 single every 3 months for nearly 6 years. Yes, we're talking about Three Dog Night. We're going to start off this evening's show with one of my favorite albums, and a personal note is when I was 11 years old, I was in the Kmart store with my dad, and I'd heard the song Joy to the World, and it was everybody was singing it at school, so we stopped and I begged him to buy it for me. That was my first album,
first record.
Kind of like, I think, like Jimmy Page. I was seduced by rock and roll at an early age.
Very early age.
On that album, the lead vocalists were Danny Hutton, Chuck Negron, Corey Wells, vocals, Michael Alsop, guitar, Jimmy Greenspoon, keyboards, and Joe Shermy played bass, and Floyd Sneed was the drummer. Kind of a strange coincidence is Danny Hutton, Chuck Negron, and Corey Wells were all born in 1942.
Really?
That's kind of
odd. That is kind of, yeah.
This album, naturally, is the fifth album by American rock band Three Dog Night. Released in 1970, the album produced two top hits, Joy to the World, number one in February, and Liar, number seven. One man band reached the top 20 at 19. The only original song by the band is the instrumental track Fire Eater, which we're going to start out with.
We'll do that right now.
We'll be right back. Our next song from the Naturally album is Heavy Church. And one thing I wanted to say about Fire Eater kind of exposed the talents of keyboardist Jimmy Greenspan. Now this next song, Heavy Church, was one of my favorite from the album, and if you've probably figured out already, we are just going to play deep cuts. Everybody's heard the top 40 singles, but if you're a true fan, you're going to dig in to the meat and potatoes of the album.
Light my way with incense candles ooh. Rub so soft beneath my sandals ooh. I've never been in here before.
Judge the way they're living. Try to see the truth they're giving. They only want to touch your hand with understanding.
Mercy, mercy on love defenders. Have pity on the love pretenders. A little help. A little truth from the mind abusers.
Oh, I hear them praying in a heavy church.
Okay, now we just, since we've just been to church, we're going to proceed with Harmony, the seventh album by Three Dog Night, released in 1971. This album featured two top 10 hits, a cover version of Paul Williams' Old Fashioned Love Song, and Hoyt Axton's Never Been to Spain, number 5 in the U.S.
Oh,
also from the Harmony album, was one of my favorites at my age, at a young age, Murder in My Heart for the Judge.
Now, who was that? That was written by, who was that written by? Because this is a song, they actually covered this from somebody else I was reading last night.
Murder in My Heart for the Judge was penned by D. Stevenson and J. Miller.
And nobody else had done that before them, or?
To my knowledge, I do not know.
Okay.
One interesting note is before Harmony, they released a compilation of Three Dog Night's greatest hits, and it was called Golden Biscuits. But originally, it was to be called, the group wanted to call Dog Style. No, that's true.
I believe it.
But Dunhill. The Dunhill executives says, no, we can't do that. That was long before Snoop Doggy Dogg.
Yeah, so, and what year was that again? 71? In 71, that was still probably considered against the law, wasn't it?
Yeah, 71. Yeah, you just didn't do that then, but the group wanted to be called Dogstar. That's interesting, though.
It is.
So, moving right along, Murder in My Heart for the Judge.
I'm gonna murder.
next we're going to open up the album Seven Separate Fools by Three Dog Night, which was kind of a neat album. It had seven
titles. Well, first off, I guess you should know that the box looks like what? Looks like a box of playing cards.
Looks right? Like a big box of playing cards. And it's got a playing card of each of the band members. There's Corey Wells, dressed up like a hunter and a fisherman. There's Chuck Negron, he's kind of looks like a card shark. There's Jimmy Greenspoon riding a big bicycle. An old type bicycle, so it was kind of a, for its time, it was an interesting set. It was the eighth album by the Three Dog Night, and it was released in 1972. And two of the singles from that album was Pieces of April and Black and White. But we're going to dig deep into this album, and we're going to play Jimmy Greenspoon's instrumental Prelude to Morning. Okay, this was a very fascinating album, and it had a lot of songs that were different for Three Dog Night. Here's one that I really like, and it's kind of different. It's called My Old Kentucky Home.
Can I say one thing before we go into the song?
Sure.
This actually, if I remember right, this was a soundtrack to a movie, wasn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was a soundtrack to Three Dog Night produced a movie. It never did do anything, but it was called Seven Separate Fools.
Now, did it include all members of the group? Or?
Yes, it did. It included all seven members.
What was the movie about? You don't mind me. I've never seen it.
I've never seen it either.
Oh, really?
I can't even find it. If anybody out there has any information on it, please contact us.
We'll give you an email address at the end of the show. So, yeah, that would be neat to find out, see if we can find it. Okay, I guess we'll roll into Old Kentucky Home. I'm sorry, is that
yeah, right? Old Kentucky Home.
All right,
let's
take
go.
It away.
Turpentine, dandelion wine, turn the corner and I'm doing fine. Shooting at the birds on the telephone line. Picking them off with this gun of mine. I gotta find my belly, find my head, gonna hide, hide till I'm dead. Sister Sue, short and stout, she didn't grow up, she grew out. Mama thinks she's pretty and she's being kind. Papa thinks she's lovely and he's half blind.
Don't let her out much except at night. I don't care, cause I'm alright. Oh, the sun shines bright on our old Kentucky home, and the young folks lay on the floor. Gene, he's big and mean, don't have much to say. He had a little woman that he whoop each day, and now she's gone away. Got drunk last night, kick mama down the stairs, I'm alright, and I don't care. Oh, the sun shines bright on my old Kentucky home, and the young folks lay on the floor. Oh, the sun shines bright on my old bad times away from my
Like I said, it was a little different, but it was one of my favorites from the album. My grandfather even liked it. Okay, we're going to slide right in now to Cyan, which was Three Dog Night's 10th album. And it produced the singles Shambhala and Let Me Serenade You. But we're going to dig deep into the album, and we're going to play Riding Thumb. And that's interesting. This song was written by James Seal of Seals and Crofts. So let's ride our thumb and get on down the highway.
Oh,
next on the list is a song that is called Singer Man. It's a little different for Three Dog Night, but let's give it a listen and see how you like that one. Take a few minutes in between songs, and we're going to just look into some interesting notes here on Three Dog Night. Again, we mentioned earlier that they were the most popular pop group from 69 to 74. They were the first points of exposure for several of the world's most notable songwriters, including Elton John, Bernie Taupin, Harry Nilsson, John Haight, Laura Nyro, Hoyt Axton, and Paul Williams, and many more. Some of the era's most effective song interpreters and arrangers. The first band to headline a complete tour of stadiums. And again, the lead trio of vocalists, Chuck Negron, Danny Hutton, and Corey Wells, were recognized among the era's greatest.
Right quick, if you don't mind, they were pretty young when they got started, weren't they?
Yeah, they were, they were born in 42, and this is they were formed in 68, so they were just teenagers, basically. in the early years, the story of Three Dog Night begins with its three lead vocalists, all fixtures on the late 60s LA scene. Chuck Negron, an unsuccessful solo artist recording on Columbia. Danny Hutton, a semi-successful solo artist for MGM. And Hanna-Barbera.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Barbera. Like you played this little cartoon?
I don't know. Maybe he sang for the Banana Split.
Well, it's like yeah. That. Or maybe some of that groovy music on the Scooby-Doo, Scooby-Doo show.
That's different. And Corey Wells, a mainstay at the Whiskey A Go Go Go, who had signed on to tour with Sonny and Cher.
Really?
Hutton's idea of a pop group with three equal leads, now this is pre-Crosby, Stills, and Nash era, led to a band named Redwood. The Beach Boys' Brian Wilson was taken with them enough to sign on as their producer. But when the Beach Boys refused to let Wilson do outside work, however, the group was stranded.
Oh.
That Mike Love.
Yeah, I was just hearing say the same thing. Kind of a tyrant.
So, you know, now they're starting over. The trio recruited their own backup band and secured a contract with Dunhill Records. After execs caught their show at the Troubadour, by then they'd acquired a new name through Danny Hutton's girlfriend, who'd read an article about Australian Aborigines. On cold nights, they'd huddle up with dingoes, so a very cold evening was dubbed a three-dog night. Woo! Their first national single, a cover of Otis Redding's Try a Little Tenderness, did well, but only after focusing on new songs by unknown songwriters did the group hit upon its hit-making formula, resulting in their first smash, One Is a Lonely Number, courtesy of Harry Nilsson. In their later years, that approach led to a phenomenal chart run, but that also meant nonstop touring and promotion. And along the way, several members developed a very nasty drug addiction. By 1975, tastes were moving towards the dance floor and the band was burnt out. Three Dog Night folded in 1976, although they went on to stage a reunion or stage reunion concerts beginning in the early 80s. As of this writing, the original group minus Negron, Sneed, and the deceased Shermie is touring. Negron, who bid to rejoin the group, was snubbed at least by one of the bandmates, and he has began touring on his own. Some more facts is one member. Other members have included Jack Ryland, bass. He started playing for them on the Cyan album. Skip Knote, keyboards. He's from 1973 to 76. This is something that you'll like. Danny Hutton auditioned to be a member of the Monkees.
Really?
But was rejected.
Rejected.
Was rejected.
Because he was a real musician? Or
yeah, probably because he was a real musician.
I want to say one thing. I hate to cut you off, but before I forget this, you're talking about the single One. The one memory for me for that song was that you gave me an old blue ball and chain. Was it a Panasonic or ball and chain or AM radio?
Right.
And I remember hearing that song for the first time on that thing, sitting out on the front step.
Oh, yeah, the old blue.
That was, yeah, the old blue ball and chain radio. That was one of my favorite songs ever since. Another one. America's Horse of No Name.
Oh,
yeah, I remember listening on that whole thing.
Yeah, that was an interesting. The 70s, I think, probably as far as albums, had some of the most interesting artwork and concepts that.
The CD generation really lost out on some of the.
One example, I think, one of the craziest albums I ever got was. But the artwork was Elton John's Captain Fantastic Brown Dirt Cowboys.
Didn't that kind of read like a comic book or something like that?
It kind of looked like a comic book era.
Yeah.
As Redwood, they recorded early versions of the Beach Boys' Time to Get Alone and Darling. Chuck Negron, a former member of NYC's doo-wop group, the Rondells, also played basketball for Cal State. Chuck Negron pressured Dunhill into releasing One as a single. Another interesting note, Danny Hutton went on to manage several punk bands, including Fear.
Really?
I'm not familiar with that. Are you?
I am familiar with Fear because if I remember right, Fear was John Belushi was obsessed. I'll have to go back and look, but I'm pretty sure Fear was the band that John Belushi was obsessed with back in his heyday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, actually, he did a movie, and he wanted them to do a soundtrack. I believe they had maybe a song or two on there. But yeah, he was real big. So yeah.
Well, that's neat. Corey Wells was an expert fisherman, and he went on to become an editor for Outdoor Life.
Really?
And there's something that you and I have spent some time talking about. Chuck Negron has also become notorious for his claim that his members split during sex with a group.
Yeah, you can't go on. I think I remember, now I can't cite my source, I think it was a radio show, but I've heard that there was one story where he had maybe three girls at one time, and he really didn't know what to do with three girls at one time, but he just let it happen. Who else could say that?
In the book by Chuck Negron, Three Dog Nightmare, he goes on to kind of explain what happens. And when he went to the hospital, I think his doctor couldn't understand why he was complaining. So, but moving right along, we're going to start now on the album Hard Labor, and I happen to have that in my box here.
I like this album because, now, sometime later on you got this album and it had a giant band-aid over this dummy of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But if I remember
actually, it's a real woman.
Oh, it's a real woman?
But she's wearing a mask.
Oh, she's wearing a mask.
Fake hands and fake feet.
Now, didn't they pull, they have like a big pair of tongs and they pulled out a album, right? It wasn't like a bloody album,
right,
or something
the,
like that?
The scene is in a delivery room.
Yes, a woman's giving birth.
A woman's giving birth, and there were two versions of the album. In the unexplicit version, there's a big bandage over the woman where you can't see anything.
Yeah.
But in the one where the band-aid's not on the album, the doctor's got a forceps holding a LP.
Yeah, I think it's a bloody LP.
Yeah,
they were pretty edgy for their
yeah,
time, probably more than the labels would allow them to be.
Yeah, they were pretty provocative. So we're gonna play from that album, we're gonna play a deep cut, Put Out the Light.
Let's let it roll.
Understand?
Now, another deep cut from Hard Labor is sung by Danny Hutton, I'd Be So Happy. Let's listen to that. That'll bring back memories. Two singles that hit the charts was The Show Must Go On. You probably remember
that. Yes, I do remember that.
Where it starts out like a circus or... And sure as I'm sitting here.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good beer drinking song. It was for me.
Yeah, well, it's not exactly all your rowdy friends.
Yeah.
Now, and I'm sorry, also play some sweet Brickyard Blues. Play something sweet, Brickyard Blues. That was from 1974.
I think that is one of those albums. They had a couple, but that's one of those ones I think that every song was good. I don't think I could find a bad song on that album.
No. I mean, you spent the whole time looking at the album cover trying to peel the Band-Aid off.
Yeah.
So, here's something interesting, and I remember that on television. This is just a few paragraphs from Chuck Negron's book. 1973 literally started with a huge street all night party on national television. It was Dick Clark's first ever New Year's Rockin' Eve.
Wow.
I remember that. Which aired on NBC TV, sponsored by Dr. Pepper.
Ooh.
You're a pepper, I'm a pepper.
Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too?
The 90-minute special starred Three Dog Night and featured Al Green, Helen Reddy, and Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Man, I bet that was quite a show.
It was. Dick Clark came up with the idea, but it was launched by our popularity. The rock and roll performances were taped in late November in the Grand Ballroom of the Queen Mary in Long Island Beach.
So they didn't do it live, or just the wraparounds were done live?
Mm-hmm. And New Year's Eve were intercut with live coverage of the Reveille in Times Square. In recalling Three Dog Night's contribution to the first show, Clark generously remembers, "It was them." He recalled that Three Dog Night had the most extraordinary combination of lead singers with extraordinary material.
Wow.
Okay, now we're gonna lead into Three Dog Night's 13th album. This was released in 1975. It was the last of the band's albums to feature the three founding vocalists, Danny Hutton, Chuck Negron, and Corey Wells. Okay, coming down your way is a final album featuring the original three members, and they're standing in front of, looks like some trains.
Yeah, some engines there.
Zeppers or what? The first deep cut we're going to play from that album is "You Can Leave Your Hand, You Can Leave Your Hat On" by Randy Newman.
Oh, okay. All right, there you go.
Yeah. mill on.
Called American Pastime. It was released in March of 1976. It was their 14th album, and this is their only studio album not to feature the band's three founding vocalists. Danny Hutton, Chuck Negro, and Corey Wells, backed up by their longtime band. It sold poorly, and the band broke up soon afterwards. Danny Hutton was not present in one of the songs in this album. It's kind of a neat album. I've got it here.
It's kind of a, it looks like a knick-knack shelf or something like that on the, or
yes,
a tchotchke shelf or something.
Yeah, it was just a knick-knack shelf with Americana on it. It was kind of a neat album.
It's like in the middle, there's a hand pulling out a big cheeseburger. There you got a, yeah, a pistol with some cars, and a Roy Rogers book, like a dime novel.
Mickey Mouse watch.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like a Beatles Shea Stadium ticket next to a pack of Lucky Strike Green can.
Open it up.
Yeah, I imagine you would instantly get cancer smoking one of those.
Open up the album.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. Open up the
album. I'll open up the can and walk the street. That's quite a bit. And I had the pictures, some pictures of some of the band members. And like you said, random Americana, Howdy Doody.
There's a can of Quaker Oats.
Quaker Oats, yeah. Who is this? I keep seeing this alarm clock here.
That's a clock with a girl's face
on it. I didn't know if it was somebody famous or, yeah.
It sure isn't Shirley Temple.
Yeah. It would look more like Carol Channing when you were younger. All right, so what songs are we going to pull off of this?
Okay, from American Pastime, we're going to pull every... they were trying to kind of cash in on the disco era. So
yeah,
the album done poor later. Was no hits from this album that made the top 40. The first one we're gonna play is "Everyone Is a Masterpiece."
There's a myth and a treasure, a wealth beyond measure, that's hidden inside you and me. Priceless collection of people you see every day. Life's a beautiful show, just as soon as you know that in your own special way.
Everybody's a masterpiece. Everybody's a work of art. Everybody's a masterpiece. Beauty's in your heart.
We all could be winners if we only
Weirdo Nights 16th album, and it was released in 1983. It was a partial album. It only had five songs. It's a Jungle Out There, which we're going to play. Shot in the Dark, Living It Up, I Can't Help It, and Somebody's Going to Get Hurt. So let's listen to that now. This is their final album. So it's not real old, but it tells you what some of your albums are worth. Coming Down Your Way, 1975, it's about $10. Hard Labor, it's running about $20, depending on what kind of shape they're in. And
which is probably a lot less than you probably paid for. Because the albums were kind of pricey back then. Even, I mean, if you compare it to what, weren't they? I mean, I've heard a lot of people say they, you know.
Yeah, you know, $6, $7, $8,
yeah.
$10, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, another interesting tidbit, Three Dog Night released their album, bear with me. The Hard Labor album with huge band-aid attached to jacket covering the childbirth is worth $30.
Wow. What's it worth without the band?
With huge band-aid. Okay, with uncensored childbirth cut front cover is worth $30. Now here's a pricey album. It Ain't Easy, the album by $3 Night with the original cover with the band members in the nude. Do you remember seeing that album?
I have seen it.
We were in the record store, and they're kind of sitting around on rocks or something, aren't they? Yeah. And they're naked. But if you're lucky enough to have that album, you've got anywhere from $100 to $120, $30.
Yeah. If you're lucky to find it, you'll pay that much, if not more.
It's pretty rare. Well, this is Dan and Dan for Vinyl to Milo saying good night, and we hope you enjoyed our program. Our next featured group will be Seals and Crofts. Thank you for listening.